Brad, my request is today when we leave here, we'd be different. We'd be different because we see something about you and about ourselves that we hadn't seen before. So just take my words and use them to hit us in any way you choose, and take our minds and form them however you choose to in our time. Amen. All right, success. You know, CSI is just really hot on trying to get underneath everything and figure out exactly what is going on. What happens if you put something underneath a microscope? What happens if you kind of do some twirly thing and say, I don't know what the heck this thing is, or all these things that are up here. Man, I'm going to be having myself some fun this series. That's what I'm talking about. You know, I'm really trying to figure out, by the way, how many of you have ever seen a CSI? How many have not seen the CSI? You need to get a life. My goodness. There's like, what? There's like four of them. Like CSI Miami, CSI New York, CSI Norwood, CSI. It's like, they're all over the place. And you ain't like, come on. Actually, truth be known, I just saw my first ones coming up for this series. And now I'm like, I'm going to be watching those bad boys. They're fascinating. The whole premise behind the whole thing is something happens and they say, what exactly happened here? When they go to the crime scene, they investigate all the little fibers and all the little clues that are left behind to figure out what actually happened. And what actually happened when someone succeeds? What actually happens? J.D. Rockefeller, the dude when he was living, I think it was like his net worth was like 1/5 of gross national product. Unbelievable. He said, hey, it's easy for me. All I have to do is get up early, work late, strike oil. Well, that'd be nice if it was that easy, you know, for you to have success. Well, what is success? Is success money-based? Is success personal-based? Is success God-based? You might be surprised to know that God cares about success. He cares about it properly defined. He cares about you. He cares that you become all that He has designed you to be. The book of Ecclesiastes 10, verse 10, is all about written by a guy by the name of Solomon, who we're going to take a look at in depth in a couple weeks. And he says this. He says, if the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. If you've ever read anything by Stephen Covey, you know, today's modern success guru, he talks about sharpening the saw. And, you know, you should give credit to Solomon because he's just stealing his idea of sharpening the axe. It's actually an idea that God actually gave him because God actually breathed through human agents using their own personality to actually pen these things. But it's God's heart actually coming through on the page of this. And what God says is, I want you to have success. And for you to have success, you must take care of yourself. You must sharpen yourself. Every once in a while, an axe gets dull and it can't chop down the tree. If you want to be a person of skill, you must take the time to sharpen yourself, to sharpen your perspective, to sharpen all that's happening inside of you. And that's what we're trying to do this series. We want to sharpen ourselves. Say, God, what is right? What does it mean to be a success in your eyes? What would that mean to be a success in your eyes? You ever thought about that? You ever thought about what would it mean if I gave up my dream of getting on the cover of Time magazine, or I gave up my dream of being named in Wall Street Journal as one of the greatest investors of all time? What would happen if I gave up my dream of being the greatest athlete of all time? Or what would happen if I gave up my dream to be the most friendly person? I mean, whatever success is for you, what would happen if you, and you are getting very nervous, aren't you? Because, you know, you're in the back. Dude, what is on your face? You got like a... Your mom, do you talk a lot in church? Is that why she put that on your mouth? Yeah, she did. Okay. But what would happen if we were somehow able to be sharpened to the point where God's success was our success, and where we viewed everything that we can give our life to through God? I mean, so you're a success. Big whoop. You live 80 years. If you're lucky, you live 80 years. I'm sorry, I got to pull this up. I am so sorry. If you're lucky, you live 80 years. Who says we have 80 years? We're one idiot running a red light away from being done. And who... Okay, can you bring it this way? There you go. Thank you. You're very... Just let me like pull... Oh, whoa! Oh, that hurts right there. Are you okay? And it's all be nice and gentle. We tried this earlier, but okay, there we go. Thank you. You can let go now. Okay, I think you're all safe. Whack. All right. So what would happen if we only had 70 years to live, 60, but maybe we have 100 years to live? Hey, could you help me out here? If you could take that for me, I'd appreciate it. Just take that and take off, okay? Yeah. Now, Donald Trump has been cracking me up. He has been. You know what cracks me up about Donald Trump? It's not just that, he fires people. It's not just that we never hear about his failures, like his bankruptcy in Atlantic City and, you know, how he's a complete loser in Atlantic City. It's not that kind of stuff. What cracks me up about Donald Trump is that he is many people's idea of success, but even if he has the greatest successful life defined by who, we'll talk about that in a minute, it's over in like, what has he got? 3 more decades maybe? Tops? You know, think about some of the things that happen in our lives that we get really bothered by and we get really, really depressed by. And we sometimes look in God and say, God, why in the world are you not doing for me all that I need to have done? In fact, we might even say to God, God, I'm in major pain. If you are real and if you're God, how can you allow this unbelievable pain and agony to happen to me? This rope right here signifies all that God has done from the beginning of time. It actually goes all the way through that wall, it goes to the parking lot, it goes across Madison, it goes through Oakley, it goes through Hyde Park Plaza, it goes all the way through Hyde Park, Mount Lookout, all the way over the river, Kentucky, and all the way on down, way, away, and way, away. And that dude on the motorcycle is still going. He's going. He went up 71, he's going across the Norwood Lateral, then across 75, he's going to keep going until he runs out of gas, and he's going to refuel up his gas tank, and he's going to take off again, and he's going to keep riding. This is the idea of what God is about and what God has done. And what is interesting about us is we don't really give a rip about what's happened before we've lived. We don't give a rip about what's happening after we live. In fact, we don't even give a rip about anything that's happening actually while we live except us. And where are we? We're like right here. There we are. Right there. We're a Sharpie mark. We're a scratch. I mean, I'm being generous to say that we're a Sharpie mark. We're not even that. And you know what we do? We bring our little dealie out here, and we look at, we look at that thing, and we evaluate it, and we completely and totally fixate on this scratch right here. So we have any level of pain that happens in our life, we're like, oh man, God, what do you think you're doing? Ah! We have some failure, and we're like, oh, my life is nothing. Well, we have some success. So yes, I'm the woman, not a woman, not a man. Yes, I am. Who's a man? I'm a man. And we get all fired up over anything on this specific scratch. What's success? Does God care about everything that's happening in here? He does. He does. He does care about everything happening. You know what? God is actually your biggest cheerleader. He is actually the person that is rooting for your success more than anybody in all of history ever has or ever will, even more than yourself. The book of Psalms, God gives us an insight as to what he thinks about the things that we are passionate about. It says this in Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. This is intense. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in God. Come to a place where you just enjoy being around God, and you enjoy what God's doing in your life. And you can't just flick that switch on out of nowhere, but we can grow in this idea of, man, it's just interesting to go through life trying to figure out, God, who have you always been? What have you done? What are you doing? What is your plan? What are you about? And we delight in relationship. That's what God has as the great passion for us, is that we delight in Him and we have relationship with Him. Not that we go to church. Not that we're a do-gooding person. Not that we, you know, give money. Not that we, you know, we don't, you know, smoke, don't chew, don't date the girls who do. Not that all those things. That's not the primary thing that God's passionate about. You know what He's passionate about? He's passionate about us delighting in Him. And you know what else He's passionate about? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. I spoke a few weeks ago about how unique the God who's spoken about in here is to any world religion, any spirituality, though there are some similarities. But one of the very unique things is that God does not desire us to empty ourselves of desire, as is the thought in Eastern spirituality and mysticism. God does not want us to empty ourselves of desire, to empty ourselves of passion. That's not what He wants. What He wants is us to have desire, to have passion, and we are passionate about Him and passionate about anything that He would have us do. If you think the closer you get to God, the more boring your life gets, if you think the closer you get to God, the less thrilling things are going to happen in your life, you do not know the God that I know. That is not what God wants. God wants you to delight in Him, and then through that we start having these desires. He wants us to go after Him. And He says to us, go, 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 go. You can do it. You can do it. Now, the interesting thing about this is that the more you delight in God, actually the more desires you have that God actually cheers for. Some of us have desires that God doesn't really cheer for. I don't want to spell all those out. You probably know what those things are. But what happens is, as you delight in God, as your heart becomes wedded to His, you know, if his heart beats like this, and your heartbeat is going like this all over the place, eventually they come in sync until where God's heartbeat is in sync with our heartbeat. And when we start to feel passion about something, we start to have these strong desires, it's not, oh no, these desires are bad, these passions are bad. I'm finding myself awake at night thinking about them. I find myself being driven. I find myself just, when I would sit down to pray, all I'm thinking about is this. It's not, God says, that's healthy. That's healthy. Because you might be having some desire that some people might say could lead to success, but that desire may be coming out of your relationship with Me. If that's the case, those desires very well may get met, and you need to sharpen your axe. You need to sharpen your life, and you need to think about that, whatever those desires are. Ability to build a business, ability to build a family, ability to love our friends around us, the ability to donate mass amounts of our time to other people and other things. And how do you know if you're a success? There's two things from this passage in Psalm 37. The first is my heart in the right place? Is my heart in the right place? Delight yourself in God. Am I passionate about, and am I succeeding in the things that God would define as success? Is my heart in the right place? Is that the thing that is funneling my passion? Seen that billboard on the street out here about a bank? There's a bank billboard right out here on Madison. It says, sure, it's about money, but it's people first. Have you ever seen that one? Oh, please. Can we get serious for a minute? It's about people first. Wouldn't you love to go in and say, I know you got my mortgage, but I know people are first. And so, since people are first, can't you just kind of... You know, there's all these things that we say that we're really not saying what the ultimate desire that we have is. By the way, I'm not anti-capitalism, I'm not anti-money. Not at all. In fact, I think God can use capitalism, and has, and God can use money, and does, for His rope, for His purposes. Think about this when I was at Disney World over the summer. Ugh. It was pain for me. Talk about pain on your scratch. Disney World was pain for me. At least I thought it was, because I don't like amusement parks. But I thought to myself, well, one of the things that I can get out of this is I've heard... What do we hear about? When you think about Disney, what do you hear about? What? Service, exactly right, customer service. So I thought, oh man, I'm going to take some notes. I mean, people of our staff members come to me every once in a while and say, hey, I just heard about this church that they went down, they took their staff down to learn about customer service from Disney. Can we do that? I'm like, No. No, we can't do that. Maybe someday we will, but right now, no. No, we can't. But, you know, people like go down and just like to learn about customer service and, you know, and all this stuff. So I'm like, okay, I'm here and I'm going to do this because I have a friend of mine that got us, whose wife works for Disney, so she got us free passes and cut rate at one of their resorts, the Polynesian. So I was like, okay, we'll try this thing for a couple days. So I want to do the whole customer service thing. So first morning I wake up, I'm like, okay, man, I need my coffee. You know, it's not controlling me, I'm controlling it, but I still want it. I still want to have my coffee this morning. So I go around, I'm trying to find my, you know, little blue brewmaster, like coffee pot. There's not in the whole room. I'm like, what is this about? I go to Red Roof Inn for $49.99, and they got a little coffee. I don't have any coffee thing. I'm like, certainly, there must be something wrong here. So I think, oh, I know. They must have some killer continental breakfast right down in the lobby. Because, oh, man, customer service, I can't wait to see how they do this deal. So I go down the lobby. It's like, all I hear is crickets. Crickets all over. There's no one there except people taking credit cards. There's no one there. There's no continental breakfast. There's no donut holes. There's no coffee. Finally, I find this little coffee-like carafe or cart thing. I go up and say, hey, I'd to get some coffee shirts. $14, please, or whatever it was. I buy coffee, down it, go back for a free refill, I think. No free refill. This is my first of many exposures to the fact of, you know, Disney serves only to make money. And that's really okay. Really, it is okay. I mean, that's part of business. Doesn't exist to serve people. Someone says, no, business does serve to serve people. And he's like, okay, well, don't charge them anything. Nothing wrong with making money. Nothing wrong with making a profit. But what is wrong is when we hide behind these phrases that really aren't true about ourselves. I really am about God. Oh, are you? Are you? How much do you think about what He wants of your life and where you're going versus your own thing? I really want to serve. Oh, do you? Part of success is uncovering really where does our heart lie? What am I about? What are the things really fire me up? If I hear one more of my peers, one more say, man, God was really calling me to go to another church. Say, you know, God's calling me to another church. And God always calls them to a bigger church with more money. It's interesting how God always does that, isn't it? God always calls pastors to go to bigger churches where they make more money. Anything wrong with going to a bigger church and make more money? No. Just I don't think that God calls every pastor to go to the bigger church and make more money. Can we get real honest here about what's going on inside of us? Are you tired of athletes? I need to go and take this new thing to take care of my family. Is your family not taken care of on $1 million a year? I could take care of my family on $1 million a year. Anything wrong with making the move for a larger salary in athletics? No problem at all with that. No problem at all. What's the problem, though? The problem is when we throw these smoke screens out that are really what our heart's about, and it's really not. You know, I don't think God cares whether or not you sell soap in Cincinnati or San Francisco. I really don't think He gives a rip about it, you know? You know what I think He cares about? I think He cares about what is your motive? What is your desire under that? What is that about? Is it always just because you're built in to always take the promotion and always take the sexier thing and always take the bigger thing? Or is it about what the motives for it, why God would have you do that, and what really is going on beneath the surface? See, we've got to really get real clear on really who is it that we serve. We've got to get really clear on why are we sharpening the axe? What really is our whole view of eternity, what God's desire, what His passion is for His desire to become our desire. God looks and says, man, I don't want you to be numb to the world. I want you to be a fired up person who's fired up by the things that I'm fired up about. It would be great, man, what a great history of the world it would be if this world looked like this rope. You know what's great about this rope is it's very unified. It is... Everything is going in the same direction. Got all these fibers that are working together, all these fibers, you know, representing somebody's story. It is straight, not a lot of detours. Everything has a purpose. Unfortunately, if we took a look at this rope from the beginning of history, it would be far more intricate than this. There would be ropes and there would be strings hanging down all over the thing. There'd be some bigger ropes, there'd be some smaller ropes, there'd be some that are longer, there's some that are shorter. And all of these strings represent every individual life that has ever walked planet Earth. Actually, it's being pretty complimentary of ourselves to think that our rope would be this big relative to God's rope, but just, you know, you actually couldn't see our life. I mean, our life would be like flax, a quarter of a piece of thread hanging down. It wouldn't be that long. It'd be so small we couldn't see it. But this is really what many of us are. Many of us are going to have longer term, longer lives on this earth. Many of us, are, for whatever reason, are going to have more things in our life. Our rope might be fatter. Some of us are going to have maybe shorter ropes. Our life just isn't going to go very long. But you know what all of these ropes have in common? They all have dead ends. They all are ultimately irrelevant. They think they're all that. They're right on the scratch. They think, you know, they're around the scratch. Everybody else on the scratch knows about them. Everybody else's scratch wants to be like them. I mean, they are on, in terms of the scratch, that is like it. But is God really impressed with that? Is God really impressed with any of our successes? Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Because He roots for our successes. You know the kind of success He's fired up about? These kind. When people say, man, God, I want to be in your story. I want my story to be your story. I want to be on your rope doing the things that only you can do and the things that have eternal significance. I think there's a reason why we really like classic stories and epic movies. I've been reading a guy by the name of John Eldridge who's been talking about this. I think it's so, so true. We have this desire to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. We really do. It's why we're drawn to these movies that have plots and they have things that are happening that are coming to a point, coming to an end. And I think that God has hardwired us into that, where we don't like short stories just about ourselves. It's not as fulfilling or significant as understanding that God is doing something. He invites me a part of His story. He invites me to be a part of His rope. That's what He wants. That's what He is passionate about. And what happens when God puts us on the rope? What happens is we see every single thing we do as a success barometer. A couple weeks ago, I was out of town and I wanted to get something to eat and watch a baseball game. So I went to the bar where I could get my food faster and watch the television screen, you know, bigger, right there, bam. So I'm sitting there and a guy says, hey, what's your name? I'm like, Brian. He says, I'm Thomas. Hi. And he says, what do you do for a living? I'm like, oh, man. Hate this. First of all, I don't want to be talked to. I'm here at the bar. I've got a two-seat buffer between me and you because I don't want to be around you. And I'm here to watch the screen and do my deal. That's kind of what... And so whenever someone asks what I do, it's always like it takes the whole conversation to a whole new level. Sometimes bad, sometimes really negative. So I keep trying to think of what I can say to scare people away. So I think myself, do I tell them, well, I got my own personal Amway business. I'd like to talk with you about that. I think I could do that, but then... I'd be lying. I don't have anything against Amway. I just don't represent it. So I'd be lying. I don't want to lie. So I think, well, maybe I say, well, you know, I'm a speaker who talks about the realities and dangers of an eternal hell and real people go there every day. I think, no, I can't do that. Well, that's not right. So I said, I'm a pastor. He says, really? Oh man, Ron. Sometimes it shuts them down. Sometimes you say pastor, like, okay, thank you. And they just cuts it off right there. I said, really? And he goes into this whole stuff and he's talking and talking and talking. And I'm sitting there going, oh man. And I'm like trying not to make eye contact with him. Because I'm like, I want to look at the television, not you. And it's like uncomfortable for me to sit here and look at the other. So I'm completely trying to zone him out. And all of a sudden I felt God speak to me. How do I know when God speaks to me? I know that God speaks to me whenever I think something that Jesus would think that I don't like to think. Because, you know, we don't think of things we don't like to think. So when a thought comes to my mind, there's something that Jesus would think, and I register like, I don't know where that thought came from. That would not come out of my own power right now. I go, okay, God, and what comes to me? these are the least of these. Jesus one time said, hey, look, you know, I was hurting and I was poor and I was hungry and you never fed me, never took care of me. People said, well, what are you talking about? When are we doing it? I said, well, whenever you've done it under the least of these or not done it under the least of these, you haven't done it under me. So I'm like, okay, I got a least of these here. And he was a least of these. He was. I mean, I could just do a scan and look at him. And this was a guy who was obviously living some life. His story was very interesting. And he looked awful. He looked awful. I thought that he was slightly inebriated, is what I thought, but it wasn't. I wanted to find out that Thomas is a taxi driver. And over the last week of his life, he's gotten like 2 hours of sleep in the back of his cab. And so his eyes are glassy. He can't even zone in on things. He can't talk about things. But he's just talking about his life. He talks about the surgery that happened when he was a little kid. He said, I was in the front page or on the cover of all the major magazines decades ago because I was the first kid that had a specific type of heart operation. He said, you want to see my scar? He stands up. He's a big guy. He starts pulling up his thing. And he goes, I trust you. I trust you. That was part of his story. And he sits down and he starts telling me about the pain that's happened in his life. He tells me about how over the last 9 months, or over a 9 month period, the last couple of years, 8 of his closest family members died. He tells me about recently walking into his bedroom and there's his wife having sex with his nephew. And he grabs a television and throws the television through the window. He's kind of like, you know, he's completely coming unglued, but patched himself up and trying to be okay in the conversation. And he says, you believe in karma? I said, yeah, I sort of believe in karma, but, you know, karma isn't really what I believe in. Karma is the idea of you get what you deserve, but really, I really believe in what the Bible talks about. And the Bible talks about grace, and it's really different from karma. So karma is when you get what you deserve, and grace is when you get what you don't deserve because God gives it to you just out of his riches. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. That we get these great things that we don't deserve, and Jesus paid for them. He looks at me and goes, man, that's beautiful. He comes up and goes, that's beautiful. He shakes my hand. That's beautiful. That's one of the best things I ever heard. Oh, man, that's beautiful. He goes back and he sits down and he's like, that's beautiful, man. That's one of the best things I ever heard. And so now he's trying to impress me as spiritual speak. He says, you know what the Bible is? I'm like, this is one of these riddles. And I said, no, what? What's the Bible? He said, the Bible is basic instructions before leaving Earth. I said, that's good. He goes, what, you think it's funny? I said, well, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude. It's just that a lot of people think that that's what the Bible is about. I just don't think that's what the Bible is. The Bible isn't basic instructions for leaving Earth. The Bible is basic instructions for changing Earth. That's what the Bible is. He looked at me for a bit. Before I left, I said, hey, man, can I pray for you? He said, no, I don't want to pray for me. I don't want to come unglued. It's actually the first time I've ever offered to pray with somebody and they said no, which I thought it was incredibly cool that he said no. It was great that he was real and didn't want to play a game. I think one of the worst things that we do is we try to be spiritually successful and show people how spiritual we are, whatever the heck that is. Like some people are going, oh, yeah, we show this whole video and their name of Jesus or God wasn't mentioned at all by that guy. What was that all? We'll get that in a minute. But I thought to myself, how many of us are really afraid of being completely unglued before God? What would happen if we really allowed our heart to beat in sync with God's? What kind of journey might there be for us? What kind of adventures could be right around the corner from us? You know, unfortunately, so many of us, we think the Bible is God's basic instruction before leaving Earth. And so all we want to do is we want to say this, God, I just need the right bus ticket. And you figure out what is the way to heaven. So, you know, we come to the place where many of us have. We say, okay, Jesus is that way. So I want to get my Jesus bus ticket. And all my life is this about getting the right bus ticket so I get to leave this earth. In the meantime, I do less pornography and I give more. That's basically a successful life spiritually, right, God? I have, you know, I've got my ticket away and then I just keep my life as clean as possible. Ah! Really? That's it? That's it. That's what God wants. Figure out how to get to heaven and then do morality management for the rest of our life. Oh, please. Did anyone get fired up about that? Some people do. Please check yourself into a hospital somewhere. That's no desire of my heart. That's no desire of a heart that God is beating in. God desires for us to be engaged on His rope, in His thing, and to completely immerse ourselves. Well, if we try to get spiritual, we read a Christian novel. What kind of Christian novel do we read? Left Behind. Oh, what? That makes me excited. Yeah, I just want to make sure I just don't get left behind. That's my whole passion. I don't want to be left behind. That's not how God has wired our lives. He's wired our lives to be involved with His life, to be in sync with Him, and wrapped up in all that is happening in this world and in His world. And people don't understand it when they see it. They really don't. We understand Donald Trump. You see, I don't know if you ever heard of DERF magazine. It's like an online newsletter. It's just completely funny stuff around Cincinnati. People poke fun at it. Here's the most recent issue. It has Donald Trump, and it says this. Rumpke, let's go to the next one. I'll blow it up there. Rumpke completes merger with Donald Trump, and it's going to be called Trumpke. It's kind of funny deal. I thought that was very creative. And I actually thought the next story was very, very creative. Actually funny. Here it is. Crossroads dominates local fake church market. I know that some of you are like, oh, that's not funny. No, that is funny. That's very funny. I mean, you gotta be able to laugh at yourself every once in a while, you know. When people have their perspectives and they come to conclusions, it's actually pretty funny. So they go on and talk about working hard to be the only fake church you'll ever need. Crossroads, a great fake church. I guess they're taking a spin off of a real place for real people. And, you know, I read that. I thought, gosh, you know, man, you see buildings popping up all over the place, seeing more and more people come in. I mean, if your whole deal of spirituality is, I go someplace quiet to have someone bore me, then yeah, we're fake. I mean, that's for some of us, that's real spirituality. Real spirituality is, I do whatever the heck I want out in the real world. I screw over anybody I want to screw over. I buy whatever I want to buy. I go after whatever I want to buy. I date whoever I want to date. I do whatever the heck I want to do. And then I get spiritual and somber. And that's spirituality. 6 days out of seven, I'm over here flapping the wind, doing whatever the heck I want. And who, 1 hour, I got to come up here and be somber and be bored and, you know, do nothing. You know, and those of us who've just seen what happens when God gets a hold of our life, we're like, man, you know, I need to make more space for my friends. AIDS hospice centers over in South Africa, all stuff here to serve the poor, whatever, whatever, whatever. And that's what God does in our lives. That's what He does in our lives. All those things. One thing I did bum out a little bit on the video that we showed with the guy from Aspen, which I thought was a phenomenal video. I think we could all take a lesson and courage from him. It is a bit of an easy shot just to say, you know what? If you were really free, you would leave the business world and you'd go sail away. You'd go climb mountains. And maybe that is part of the God's desires for your heart. But it's no more noble than being an accountant and crunching your numbers every single day. Because you know when you crunch numbers, you're in the midst of God's desire for His heart, because He desires truth and accounting, and He desires you to be able to take care of your family and go away. Take care of your family and build into them. It's no less noble. It's no less noble to be Donald Trump and be a gazillionaire than to be a stay-home parent. And you're a stay-home parent, and you say, man, I'm doing the stuff that no one's ever going to write about in a magazine. No one's ever going to make a movie about my life. My story isn't ever going to be inspirational to anybody, but you know who's inspirational to? God. God, because every day I hit my marks. Every day. Every day I hit the marks God wants me to hit, and every day I get up and I wake him up for school, and I try to do it with a joyful look on my face, even though inside I'm not all that joyful. And every day I help them with their homework, and every day I put the meal on the table, and every day I hit my mark, and I go up and I tuck them into bed and I say a prayer on them, and God's up in heaven going, you are a success. You are a success. And God goes like this when He says, man, I want you to go make scads of money. Scads! That's my heart for you. Scads! Just gobs of it. I created it all, and your role is you're going to get gobs of it. And you're going to learn how to leverage that and build into the rope in a way in which nobody ever has. And that's my desire for your heart. And it's not about your scorecard of your account. It's about your scorecard of your heart beating in sync with mine. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 26, He said, there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be known. I believe the greatest successes in the history of the world are average people who are in this room and no one knows your story. No one. Just thought of one of the books I read this last summer. It was a fascinating book on the Vanderbilts. The Fall of the Vanderbilt Family. It's a fascinating, fascinating book. I mean, these people just would build like the Biltmore and all these things. They would just try to keep up with each other and keep one-upping each other. And of course, they whittled their whole fortune way down to nothing. And it tells a story about the maid in one of the women's homes. This is towards the end. This is like third generation removed from the colonel. Or the Commodore, rather, who really created all the wealth. And this woman, old Vanderbilt woman, she's in her later days, and she had just treated her servants like dirt. I mean, they weren't slaves, but they may as well have been. It's clearly you're a class below, and I'm not to talk to you. And she says to her servant one day, who was a Christ follower, went to a Baptist church and just had a passionate love for Jesus. Says, well, maybe someday, she said, I'm like, you won't necessarily be living in my house anymore. And says, well, when I come to heaven, you are welcome in my house, and my house is going to be huge. This came to my mind. I have to make sure I read that book. That'll be better tomorrow, too. I'll have to read that book again. You know, there's something about that. I mean, we become just so passionate about success as everybody else views success, but what's underneath the veneer? What is it that's driving our life? Is it something that God applauds or not? I want to invite the band to come up right now. And we're going to do a little exercise with this rope that we have up here. So if you'd like to, you don't have to, but if you'd like to, let's go ahead and bow our heads and go before God right now. Let's take that rope in our mind and let's wrap that rope. Let's just see it wrapping up our mind, going around our head, around our forehead. God, we desire to think of the things that you want to be thought of. We desire to think of the business plans that you want to enact. We want to think of the things that we should give up that you want us to give up. God, what would happen? What would happen if that happened? God, would you do that right now in our mind? Many of us are saying right now, we want our minds to be on the rope. As it wraps all the way down our face, down to our mouth, as that rope goes over our mouth, we think about the power of our words. How we can succeed with the words of life we breathe into other people. God, right now as we pray, is there anybody coming out of here that success would be, you have a specific word that we're to say to somebody. Word of encouragement, of admonition. God, as your rope of all that you want to have happen wraps down our neck, wraps all the way around our chest, I just pray that our heart that's underneath that rope beats in sync with yours. God, give us the feelings that you have. Make us mad about the things that you get mad about. Make us laugh about the things you laugh about. Make us sad about the things you're sad about. God, wraps all the way around, coming all the way down our navel, over our hips, down to our legs as it goes around our legs. God, we want to say to you, where do you want our legs to go? Where do they go? Do you want us to run to another job? Do you want us to run away from our job? Do you want us to run to that special person? God, we want our legs to run where you want us to run and to stop where we need to stop. Everything, God, absolutely everything. We want to be a success in your eyes. We want you to be our biggest cheerleader. And we say everything, everything. God, we do want to know who you are. Many of us do know. Others of us think we know, but we really don't. Others of us admit, man, I don't know who you are. I don't. I want to. My prayer today, God, is all of us would have hearts start to beat in sync with your heart. And our desires would be the kind of things we should just get fired up about. Unapologetically, this is what I am passionate about. This is what I do. this is success, and that you would know, God, you would cheer us on in that area. God, thanks for being patient with a bunch of ropes that fall off and dangle on our own. Or a bunch of dead-end ropes who want to get on you. Help that happen this next several weeks. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen.